Take your Bibles. We've been here before. Go to Luke chapter 24:13.
Somebody's car alarm is going on. I can barely hear it, so it's way over there. Hope it's mine. Sounds like it went off. It did. 24:13. Church, I appreciate everything, all the prayers and all the visitation, everything you guys have done since my mom passed away. I'm above and beyond blessed to have such a good church. Good day. A little bit of a day. That's where I want to be tonight, just back normal just for a little bit. Life ain't going to be normal, but God's give us a good word. I preached here before on this topic, but God showed me some stuff in it. It's got such a good gospel twist at the end of it. I want you to see it because God showed it to me. I made a deal with God as I was praying and talking about this message. I'm going to preach to y'all like I don't know you. So, if I know something about you and you think I'm preaching to you, just take it up with God, not me. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. It's about 7 miles. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. I thought to myself, I'm preaching this from a different perspective now. I think God's word never changes, but we do. We go through things, and when we go through things, God allows us to go back and look at the scope and see the scriptures in a different way. And I'm seeing it in a different way today than I did just 3 or 4 days ago. I see these two men, and their hearts broke. Their hearts broke. They were in love with somebody who was taken from them, and they didn't know what to do. And the next thing you know, they just got together and said, let's go to Emmaus. Because sometimes you want to go, when you're broken, you want to go in the wrong direction. Somebody better write that down, because it's good. Sometimes, even as a disciple, these are men who love Jesus, people who love God, and still, they're going in the wrong direction. Because he said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift that's coming from on high. For that promise, the Holy Spirit that's coming. That's where they should have been, but they were going in the wrong direction. I believe sometimes God will allow you. He didn't make you. You might want to write that down too. He didn't make you go in the wrong direction, but He'll allow you to go in the wrong direction. Sometimes, a little long enough for you to get hurt, and for you to learn where you can help somebody else when they go the wrong way, and you can help them. Amen. Let me tell you this, if you don't understand what I'm saying. God's a good father. Has your daddy ever let you go a little bit further than you should have went, where you can learn something from going too far away from where he said not to go? I'm telling you, either you learn it on your own or there's some belt therapy coming. Amen? And you learn. You say, okay, I don't want to go there. And so then when you're around some of your people and they say, let's go do that, you can look at them and say, no. There's no reason to go down that trail. It ends badly. Amen? So when you see a Christian, you think, well, they went the wrong way. They've done the wrong thing. Well, guess what? Just stay with it. If they're a believer in Christ, God can and will correct them. God, I'm sorry. We have a Heavenly Father, and He will chastise you if you get out of the way. Don't worry. If you're a child, He knows where you're at. Knows what you're doing. Knows what direction you're going. And knows your heart. Aren't you glad He knows your heart? Because He was seeing these men's heart, and they were going in the wrong direction, but I thought about something. They're going the wrong way, but they're talking about the right thing. I like that. They're going the wrong way. I've been going the wrong way before, but talking and trying to do the right thing. Amen? Golly, I wish we could be honest in the church sometimes. At a church, we don't like to admit our failures and our shortcomings. We like to on the doorstep of our life. We like to show all of our successes, but we don't like to put out any of our junk in front of anybody. Let them know that we're real human beings and we fell short. Amen. I went the wrong way trying to do the right thing. Sometimes cause I'm hurt. Sometimes cause I'm mad. Sometimes cause I'm depressed. Sometimes cause I'm didn't do this or didn't do that, and I went the wrong direction. But I went for the right reason. God. Talking about the right thing. They're talking about Jesus. Talking about everything that had happened. Where two or three are gathered, he said, I'll be in the midst. Where two or three are gathered, talking about me. All right? That's all right to talk about other things sometimes. But as a Christian, you should interject Christ.
Amen.
We should put him in the mix. We should put him in the conversation. We should talk to other people about him and about us and about how our life goes. Guess what? Here, they're on the road to Damascus going in the wrong direction. 7 miles, completely going in the wrong direction. But talking about the right thing. And Jesus, who? Never mind. I can't. Jesus himself showed up. Now, golly, I don't know if y'all can handle this kind of preaching. Who showed up? Did he send a deacon? Did he send a preacher? Did he send a friend? Did he send somebody? Did he send the old Christian police officer who's going to pull people over and tell them how wrong they are? Absolutely not. He sent himself. Never mind. Sorry. He sent himself. And guess what? God's going to send himself to you. He's going to show you where you're wrong. And guess what? You'll have to deal with him. Now you can go through every sign you can go through, but he'll eventually send, he'll come himself. Glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the veil was torn? See, because the veil was torn, we don't have to go through somebody. I don't have to have you. You don't have to have me. We can go straight to God. If you're waiting on, Jesus, you don't have to for somebody else. You himself. You think, why did he show up with these guys? He didn't show up. They ain't nobody. Guess what? Everybody's somebody to God. They're important. You're heading in the wrong direction, talking about the wrong thing, or talking about the right thing, and kind of have it wrong. We don't want to admit that either, do we? We will die on our some of our theology some instead of admitting it. Maybe we just got it a little bit mixed up right here.
Amen.
I want to show you. He tells you their heart's broke, man. Sometimes I don't want to preach right here forever, but I've got a new understanding of this too. Sometimes when you look on the outside of somebody and think you understand stuff, don't think you understand stuff. You don't know what they're going. Man, they're not this and they're not doing that. Guess what? Their heart was just broke. They didn't know what to do. They knew what to do. We all know what to do sometimes. We just don't seem to do it. I told somebody, hey, sometimes we have the answers real clear for us, but sometimes it's just hard to do the real clear thing. And Jesus shows up and he asks a question. Why in the world does God ask questions? Don't, with all answers, how does he ask? He wants to hear your heart. He wants it to come out of your mouth. He wants you to profess it. He wants you to say it because of the answers. Woo! Not like we don't, but we do. Amen. Talking about what man? Preach when I always like. Aren't you? God's God the way He is. I mean, He works with us, man. He just don't knock you down. I hear people all the time, oh, the Lord's been, He's been wearing me out. My God, God could stick you on this ceiling, hang you upside down. He could stop you from breathing. He could stop your heart from moving. He could, if He's just bringing you to a place of repentance, be thankful. Amen?
He's really hard. He's really wearing me.
No, not really. I mean, not really. I mean, y'all look pretty healthy. Amen? I mean, He can put you in a place where all you can do is look up. You know? I love when He gets beside you and He's just talking. What were you guys talking about? Why are you so sad? Oh, they're going to school Him. You ever wanted to school Jesus when you feel bad? I do. When I feel bad, I want to talk to God. Oh, what He's doing. Only one. Answering, said unto him, stranger in Jerusalem, has thou known the things which are come to pass during these days? And he said unto them, same one that hung upon the cross. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. It's finished. What things? Explain to me. I need to know. Aren't you glad God let you some stuff out? I mean, man, He'll let you pour it all out if you'll just let Him. He'll ask the questions that gets down to the root of the problem. What things? Go ahead. I want to hear them. Guys, I'm telling you right now, 3rd foot here, and it's happening. I wish I wouldn't. I'm glad I'm not people like this in it for me. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Open up. But we trusted. There's only one problem with that. Past tense. But we trusted. I understand them now. Do you understand them? Have you ever trusted God, went through something, and you say, but I trusted you? That's what they're saying. We hung it all on Him. We trusted. We're hurting. Where are you at? Go on. Redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the 3rd day since these things were done. Yea. And certain women also overcame, made us astonished, which were saying that they had also seen a vision, angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them that were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but Him they saw not. We just don't believe it. We got our feelings hurt, we got our heart broke, and we started walking and talking in the wrong direction. That's what's happening, Lord. We were looking for Him to do big things. We wanted Him to set up the Capitol. Do you know that there was a time that we set down 5,000 people, not counting women and children, and He took a little boy's lunch and He fed everybody. He was God. Then, there was a blind man named Bartimaeus, and he screamed out, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy. And oh, He walked over there and He made that blind man see. And Lazarus, oh my gosh, he was in the grave for 4 days. His sister came out and said, if you had just been on time, You didn't even make it to the hospital, and you didn't make it to the funeral home. Amen? You're late. Never late. I'm just not doing something better. When you think better. I love when they get to the funeral. I love when they get to the graveyard. Oh, roll away the tomb. Roll away the cat. Oh, well, pray. Oh, well, man, Mary, man, had an A-type person. Hey, Brother G, hey, he surely stinks now. Been in there 4 days, if you hadn't remember. Right? I love that. And you know what? Jesus, not many days hence after that, was sitting down having dinner with Lazarus. Amen. Lazarus ain't never preached a message, God. Now, can y'all handle extra preaching bonus time? Click it. I'm going bonus on these. Lazarus has never preached a message. Nope. God, who can I preach to? He never preached a message. Not one. Never wrote a book. What it was like 4 days in the tomb. He never sung a song that we know of. Amen? He didn't dance. He didn't do a whole lot of things. You know what he did? Sat there alive. When you've been dead 4 days, you ain't got to do a whole lot. Amen? You just show up to a room and say, hey man, that guy was dead for 4 days. Jesus called him straight out of the tomb. Amen? I hate to tell you this, but some people are just walking testimony. Why, God, why didn't you let me sing? Why didn't you let me preach? Why didn't you let me testify? Why didn't you let me do it? And God said, I let you breathe. But golly, y'all don't even like, I love this stuff. The devil's ticked off because you're still breathing. He still ain't even figured that out yet. I've messed the whole world up because you're still in it. Show up. People, wish we'd get past the spiritual giants and get to the real people. I'm serious. People think they're better than what they are. Hey, some people sitting in this room that they seem dead. Every time they see you out of your car, out of your driveway, going down the road to church, and they're going, oh my God! They weren't going, you were other people's excuse why they didn't get right. Well, at least I ain't old so-and-so. Well, now that you're right, guess what they got to do? They got to thoroughly look at themselves. Never mind. That's maybe you're on tonight. That's good. We want Jesus to do. They want to do ever. Can you be the president? Can you run the government? Can you set some stuff in order, Jesus? Doing. I'm cracking the door to heaven for everybody. Not just you, but everybody. That's what I'm doing here. I didn't come. See, when I come, I had the government upon my shoulders. Never mind. That's Isaiah. See, when he was born and he came to this earth, he was Emmanuel. He was God with us. He said the government. See, y'all don't know this. Some of y'all think, Jesus died for me and he shed his blood. That's yes, yes, and yes. But you don't understand. He is the royal diadem of heaven. If you don't understand what the royal diadem is, that is the prize jewel of heaven. That's like our Fort Knox. That's where we base our economy. That's where we get all of our markets from, is what we have in store of gold. God, Jesus, was heaven. No. He spent it all for you. I said that today. See, the buyer sets the value of anything. You understand what I just said? See, if I walk in your store and you got something in there that I want, and you got it marked up to a price that I don't want to pay, man, if y'all don't shout or do something, I'm going to walk out of here. I'm serious. You go into a store and you see something that you really want, and you go and you say, can I see that? Put it on the counter and you look at it and you say, what do you want for it? And the man says, I want $1,000 for it. And you say, $1,000, I really want it, but that's a little much, my friend. You've marked that up. And I don't know if I'm willing to pay for that. Well, if it's worth something to you, you'll pay the price. You hearing me? If it's not, the buyer is telling you the worth of the item. You take out your currency and say, okay, I'll take it because it's important to me. No. God looked at you. God looked at you. God looked at you and 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 you. And you know what he said? Put it up on the table. What's the price? The price would be Jesus. You would have to bankrupt eternity. You'll have to bankrupt heaven for them. Is that worth it? Never mind. Now listen, come on, y'all don't get that. That's not something he's gonna do. That's something he's already done for you. Before you even took your first breath. Before you committed your first sin. I'll pay it all. Like it. A bigger thing. We think, go home. What I've already done is secured eternity. What I'm doing now is bringing it all to pass. Whew. Then, things enter into glory, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he is concerning himself. And they drew nigh to the village whither they went, and he made as though he would not have gone further. He made as though he would have gone further. I like to say this before I move on past that one point. That's the only place in time I would like to go back to and walk with Jesus and have him expound the whole Old Testament. I wonder if he'd say, well, back in the garden, remember when I said he would bruise his head and he would bruise his heel? I was talking about the suffering of Jesus. And I was talking about his foot being on the serpent, he was going to crush him. And remember in Psalm 20, when I just blatantly showed you the crucifixion? Remember Isaiah 53, when I did it again? That's what I'm talking about. Amen? But could you imagine walking with Jesus? And see, the whole Old Testament does nothing but point at Jesus. It's just saying Jesus is the one. Amen? Just expound on that. But already, can y'all switch gears with me? Let's switch gears real quick. We just switch gears. How'd that feel? Good? All right. We switch gears. Now we're going to talk about the gospel and how it works. Because there's a real twist of the gospel right here that I've never seen. The only reason I preach this. So this whole 30 minutes up to this point has meant nothing. And I'm just taking a stab at that 30-minute deal. He acted like he would go further. See, Jesus, in the gospel, Jesus is he will stand outside of your life and ask to come in. He will make your heart set on fire. Let me explain it this way. I want you to hear this and understand it. No man can draw another man to Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can draw. Amen? That's why when Scott said what he did about the play, see, I've looked at that play a whole different route too when he told me about that earlier this week. See, we think we'll have a play and then somebody will show up and then hopefully they'll get saved. Is that right? You better be honest with me. That's true, right? Yeah, for the most part. I want the same thing. But we don't realize that our kids and our grandkids and all these little kids running around here are listening and watching. And what we're doing is everything they're seeing and everything they're hearing, we're planting seed. So you can't have a crop of Christians unless somebody sows and waters. Because God gives the increase. See, there's some people that are going to get saved in that play 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, just because somebody planted and somebody watered and God gave the increase. And guess what? You might not ever know about it, but you played a role in somebody being saved. And sometimes we think, we'll walk around, well, nobody did this and nobody... Yeah, you know what? That's not our job. If we do our job, we sow and water. And you know if you've sowed and you know if you've watered. Amen? But listen to this. I like this. Jesus ain't going to force himself into your life. Never. He wants you to ask him then. Now, he'll get you so thirsty. He'll get you so hungry. He'll get you to the place when you're going to the altar you didn't even know he was going. Does anybody testify that? I don't know. I know the day I got saved. I fell down on the floor. I didn't even realize I was in the floor until I was in the floor. I was up underneath the bed that I didn't fit up underneath.
Amen.
He'll draw you, but he'll make. Did you see? He acted like he was going to go on. You get it? Look, listen. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And we went in to tarry with him. And he went in with tarry. They're like, come inside. Are y'all good? I'm about to show you something you've never seen before. If you've seen it, it's all right. Tell me you've seen it later on. Just act. They begged him to come in. That's what salvation looks like. That's what it sounds like. It goes from that place where you don't know if he's going to stay. You don't know if he's going to go. And you're just sitting there and you got to go. And next thing you know, you don't realize it, but you're begging him. Oh, God, will you come in here and stay with me? This is a long journey and it's hard and I'm hurting and I'm broke. Will you stay? I remember when I called out to Christ, I remember at times of where I've called out to Christ when I didn't know what was going on. And you know what? I sound like a kid. I sound like a little kid saying, I don't know really what to say, but I want to say, come on. Could y'all just get out of your beautiful selves for a second? Remember when you asked your best friend to spend the night? You spend the night? You go, can you spend the night? And your mom's like, I don't know. Ask the other. Can you spend the night? Right? I don't know, ask your dad. It's going to happen. Dad don't care. Now, y'all know that. If mom says, ask dad, mom's okay with it, dad's going to say yeah. Because he ain't got to clean up nothing. Sorry. God, I wish I didn't know this stuff. But you go with the, come in here, stand. That's the same. I want to give that... We're at Jesus, come, just stay here. I don't know what we're going to do, but you stay with me. Watch this. Tom. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. What? No. Wasn't he the one? Y'all better get this. Wasn't he the one they asked to come in? He was a visitor. But now he's the host. Gosh. It didn't take long. He was a visitor. But now he's the host. He's got the bread. He's saying the prayers. He's blessing. He's changing. He's fixing. He's working. And you're sitting there, wait a minute, ain't this the guy that we were just walking with? Now he's thing. You know what it makes me think? Before I got saved, I didn't know what I could be like when I was a Christian. I didn't think I was going to be good enough. I didn't think I could keep it. God didn't know what I was asking him to do, because I know if you get in here, you're going to find out how bad it is. And if you stay for a while, you're going to find some stuff that you're not going to want to see. But God says, don't worry. Because when you invite me and you invite me in as a guest, I'm going to end up being the host. I'm going to change everything. And everything you need and everything you want and everything you're going to need for the rest of eternity is going to come through me because you ask me to come in. It's a big message. Verse 31, and their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. The semblance of Jesus being broken while all you've opened your eyes. When you finally see Jesus, who he is. I remember when I first got saved. About a day or two later, listen, I want you to hear this. A couple days later, a couple months later, a couple weeks later, you just see things a whole lot different. I mean, you see some crazy out of balance stuff. Stuff you used to be into, stuff you'd want to do, and you look at it and go, that's crazy. So yeah, that used to be. Oh, y'all don't like me. I'm gonna piddle. Can I mess? Yeah, well, don't I hate it too late now. Listen, you go somewhere with like we went to the marriage retreat, right? And we got up there and there's cabins there. And we're all spiritual. Right? But everybody up there in the cabins ain't spiritual. Amen? And you see people being loud and arguing and doing this and that and the other. You know what I mean? And what do? Man, they're crazy. They're crazy. You know? I wonder what that's going to be crazy. And then you start, if you just let your mind just run just a little bit further, I think, man, they ain't as crazy as I was. Oh, I'm sorry. They're kind of mild. When we walked by, we said, hey, we'll be praying for you. Hey, Jesus is good. You know, we don't need what you got. You need what we got. Amen? But, hey, they're still going to party on. Ah, where are you, buddy? You can get that little Christian half step. You're like, huh? And you're like, oh, them boys, they're out of bounds. No. He comes in and changes all out about you. Next thing you know, you don't even recognize that stuff. You can't even identify with it, and you ain't even been gone that long. Amen? Oh, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. I don't know what you did when you was little, but we hung around and played Monopoly all the time. We'd get in the Uno game and it'd get severe. Listen, be done. Verse 32, and he said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And he opened up the preaching to the word, way you your heart burn, sets the fire. Listen what. Oh, y'all hear me? I'm tired. We're weary. Come in. He comes in. He starts running the show. He leaves. But leaves something in them. That's the Holy Spirit for us. You want to go back to Jerusalem? Yeah, we can't stay here. I was tired when I got here. I know. But I think I was just tired because we didn't have the fire that we got in us now. See, life without Jesus will leave you tired, worn out, broke, busted. But once you get Jesus, you'll go 7 miles. You'll go completely in the right direction. Running and telling everybody.
Amen.
Running and telling everybody. My heart was hurting, and it was heavy. And I almost let go of what I had with Jesus. But he showed up right when I thought I'd gone too far. And he walked with me.
And he talked with me. He told me everything was going to be all right. He set the fire back in my heart. I was a smoldering, smoking mess, but he didn't put me out. He stirred us up. See, that's what the gospel does. Once you invite it in, it takes over. It sets you on fire and in your way. They all stand as they come get a song of their